Hey friends, you're listening to Changing the Conversation, a podcast by African Leadership and the Mocha Club, where we take time to sit down and explore topics to challenge our perspective in pursuit of better loving people and the world around us. Hey listeners, thank you for tuning in to Changing the Conversation podcast. We are so glad you are here today. Emily and I get to sit down with a dear friend of the organization, Mark Brown, and he is a ham. Y'all are going to love this conversation. He has the biggest personality and most energy I've ever seen in someone, and so you will soon hear that as we step into this conversation, but so glad you're listening in. Mark Brown is the author of a children's book called Zen Pig, and every book that he sells, he gives a percentage of his profits to Mocha Club to fight the clean water crisis. So yeah, just want him to share a little bit more of his story and how we got partnered up. But you are just going to love listening to him. He is so encouraging and so inspiring, and so glad you're going to listen in on our conversation. Here we go. Well, Mark, welcome.
Is this on?
We're on.
No, Steven. Hello. How are you guys?
So happy to have you. I'm well.
Man, you make a dreary, rainy day much
really
more
bright.
Lively.
That's a kind way of saying too much. Pull off the throttle. Mark. That's
you
fine.
Are it's you like, hear too much, okay. And I go, oh, thank God, there's some life because my coffee cup is empty.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Well, see, I think that's where you guys are kind of playing it safe. Like I've already had a pot, right? So your feet hit the floor, and then you go for it. We don't need to mess around.
Okay, so that was going to be my question. Cow. Is this just like natural? You wake up and you're like, boom, life, let's go. Or are you like,
no? When I wake up. So I do my meditation and affirmation, but while I'm doing that, I'm hitting that gas pedal a little bit. I'm taking sips of coffee. You know what I mean? So when I'm done with my meditation.
And where's Noble? Like, are you like,
so
is there a
I get up way before he does. He likes to sleep in the morning. So I wake up between 5:30 and 6 every day.
Oh,
so
whoa.
I've got some time. That's my thing. Yeah. Like, that's my thing. When he wakes up, I want to be on the moon already. I'm already out there.
I'm sure he loves that.
He hates that.
Oh, he hates it.
Who wouldn't hate that?
Give me a minute, Dad.
Yeah, I think that's why I'm going to be forever single. Because like when I wake up, I'm like ready to get the coffee and I get super into it. And I have this app on my phone that has the bird sounds.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So like when Noble wakes up, there's like birds going nuts.
Nope.
Dad's on the moon.
Nope.
Talking about.
Da-da-da-da. I'm with Noble.
Yeah.
I'm like,
everybody is.
No.
Like, it's going to take a special person to handle that. Like, I'm get it. Like, I'm weird, and that is odd. But I will tell you that by, like, 8 o'clock at night.
You're done.
Clocking out.
I'm done. That's what I was going to ask. Bedtime.
Yeah,
so
no,
8.
Yeah, okay. I can't do nighttime.
When are you most creative? Like,
in the morning.
Super in the morning?
Mm-hmm. When I'm sufficiently caffeinated, meditated, and affirmed. I'm like, and then like about 11 or 12, I get a little bit slower. And then that's when I hit the second pot about 1 or 2 in the afternoon.
You do two pots of coffee a day?
I do.
Do you literally two pots?
Literally two pots.
Like you're not exaggerating.
Like my little coffee maker. Yeah, I'm not talking about like a Keurig. Like I do. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Do you guys mind if I take my jacket off?
Oh, please. Okay, get comfy.
If for those of you that can't see, I wish we were streaming this on YouTube so you guys could see how ridiculous I look.
He's got like a
prison shirt on. Stop.
I wasn't going to say that. I was actually going to say like Michael Keaton, Beetlejuice kind of
vibe. Yeah, there you go.
I've never been compared to Keaton.
What a classic.
Yeah. It is.
Have you ever seen it?
No, girl. Are you serious? I'm not a movie person.
Really?
She hates Michael Keaton. You didn't know that? She hates. She has a tattoo that says.
No, I remember Michael Keaton in Batman.
Oh, yeah. I think he was a good
one. One of my favorite Batmans.
Batman. Yeah.
This is now turning into the pop culture podcast.
It is.
Welcome.
I'm much more well-versed than this.
Oh, no. You about hit my limit.
Right. No, this is great. I love this. So it's Tuesday today. Happy Tuesday.
No, it is not.
Well,
stop.
It's Tuesday.
I know. She always confuses me.
Don't do that to me.
We record
that out,
on a
Steven.
Friday. And then she says, happy Tuesday. And then it takes me 3 days to adjust that like my whole weekend's actually gone because it wasn't Tuesday and I was trying to get to the end of the week.
I feel deceived.
Right. Let's be very.
There's no more trust I have in this at all.
Let's be very transparent.
Thank you.
We
That's
record
also a TV
on a
show.
Friday. We publish on a Tuesday.
So we are always confused.
We are always confused. So happy Friday and happy Tuesday, because our listeners are a part of this conversation. Right. So we want to honor them. Word.
What is the mix between Friday and Tuesday?
For Tuesday.
For Tuesday.
Perfect. Hashtag. That's a new hashtag.
Yeah. Start it. This Friday, we're celebrating World Water Day.
Yes.
Which we're so excited about because...
I like water. Do you like water?
I love it.
I drink a lot of water.
Look, we have a water bottle.
Oh,
right here.
Look at this.
Now, see, I do bubbles in my water.
Oh, I do love
Whoa,
bubbles.
Oh, wait. T.O. timeout. What type of straw is that?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I do bubbles.
Oh, that's a weird question.
That is, what's the most design-forward straw I've ever seen in my life?
It's also real. I mean, like, we put them in the dishwasher.
Oh, yeah.
We got a bunch of them.
That's great.
I think there's grapefruit oil in my water today.
Wow.
Yeah, but there's always bubbles.
I'm interested that you have a straw for bubbly water, because I feel like bubbly water up a straw is, like, too much.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What's the bottom?
Like, you never drink. Well, I don't drink pop, but like, people don't use a straw for pop.
I'm leaving soda? Because you said pop. I'm leaving because you said pop.
Meaning
I don't want to be here anymore.
Go Michigan.
No, like, God. If you go to Sonic, right, during happy hour and you get a
water.
Soda, comes with a straw in it and you're drinking it out of a straw.
That's true.
If you go to McDonald's or Chick-fil-A, like any place like that you're going, they're giving you a straw, right?
For your caffeinated beverage. I don't drink pop. I don't know that world.
Beverage? Mm. I don't know it either, but
I like Diet Dr. Pepper.
Do you get it ever
in
from
straw?
A fountain?
Okay, fine. I've been debunked. Straws are used by
Oh, look at Steven's got a Diet Dr. Pepper and he's flaunting it in my face.
With a straw?
This. Oh, Steven? Nope.
Team Dude. No straw. Okay, why is Mark here? Mark Brown.
Yeah, Mark. Tell us about yourself. Hi.
My name is
Mark Brown.
Hi, my name is Mark Brown. I'm a 34-year-old male.
What? So we met Mark, a couple years back. Well, 4 years?
Five years.
Okay.
Decided to walk
have I
in.
Aged terribly? I have. That's fine.
Mark Brown walked into our office and said,
I'm here to
I
help.
Have a proposition for you. And we said, great, let's hear it. So.
But before we get to the proposition.
Yes.
Tell us about Mark Brown. Like, what do you do? Mm-hmm. Who are you? What's your love? What led you to two pots of coffee a day and your meditation app?
Mark Brown, 34. I write a children's book series called Zen Pig. Mm-hmm. It teaches children mindfulness, compassion, gratitude, self-forgiveness. That's a big one. Mm-hmm. And so every copy sold provides somebody clean water for a year through you guys. Mm-hmm. Couldn't do it without you.
Yay.
Could
we?
What's that?
Neither could we. We couldn't do it without you.
That's so sweet. Mm-hmm. You guys are so sweet. That's what I got going on with me.
Yeah.
Slinging the pig, as I call it.
Slinging the pig.
Slinging the pig.
Okay, but how did Zen Pig come about? The idea? Okay. What? I mean.
Yeah, so here's the deal. This is not good. I'm embarrassed by it, but it took me a long time to learn these values, right? I was in my mid-20s.
Tell us again, for those of us who haven't had as much coffee as you have today, all the qualities. So we've got self-forgiveness, compassion,
gratitude,
mindfulness,
presence.
Okay.
God, just all the evergreen
so these qualities
values.
That, right, you that, didn't learn until you got older.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I was a train wreck. Mm. And still am,
aren't we
mostly,
all?
But yeah. Okay. But, it's much better now that those things are integrated in my life. And so I had my son is what it really teed up the ball because I was like, oh, dude, like, I want to help you avoid some of this heartache that I've gone through. Mm. And so I made this character called Zen Pig, and he seemed to really identify or like enjoy that character. And to be clear, it's the only character that I could draw. It's a ridiculously childlike illustration, let's be clear.
It's a beautiful picture of
Thank
a pig.
You.
It is.
Thank
it's
you.
Pretty cute.
I wrote the Zen Pig thing, and I tagged it onto Zen Pig, and then he really liked it. And I took Zen Pig to my mastermind group just as like a, hey, look what I did. And they were like, oh, so cool. Like, when are you actually going to make that? And so they challenged me, and I did it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So and the first book came out.
Yeah, you wrote your first book when?
I wrote it in January of 2015. Huh. And then May 2015, it was out. Yeah.
Wow.
It's weird. Warp speed.
Warp speed.
Warp speed.
That is kind of your speed, though.
It is. Hey, that's
About
it.
All of life.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't tiptoe through the tulips.
Right.
So in 2015, you walked into our office and said, hey, I've got this book idea.
What can you do for me? That's how I start every conversation. Hello, what can you do for me?
Actually, not how you start any conversation. But I think one of the reasons I really wanted to spend some time with Mark is, you know, we continue to talk about how we're all a part of something bigger than ourselves.
Yes,
and and the piece that we get to play in that is unique and special, and it should be celebrated. But it has been often, I think, for those of us that grew up in a church environment, there's this place of like shame and responsibility of I've got to take care of the poor or make a difference. And what does that look like? And we can get so caught up in, oh my goodness, how do I fulfill this thing supposed to be true about my life? And instead, what does it look like for us to kind of reinvent that and say, hey, who you are is valuable. And so what does it look like for you to leverage the passion and the creativity and the uniqueness of your story to just make a difference? It doesn't have to require as much work as you think it does.
No, it really doesn't. And I think you're onto something very powerful there. And I know I joke around a lot, but this is very serious. I think one of the paradigms that helped me shift is I'm in a recovering extremist, right? And so like when I think of giving back or used to, when I thought about giving back or being philanthropic, I thought, well, I'm never going to be Mother Teresa. I'm never going to be the monk on the mountain. Like, so what's the point? You know, whatever.
Sure.
But I think one of the massive perspective shifts for me was understanding that it's on a spectrum. And so like just giving like half a percent more in terms of like my life or proceeds or whatever that is infinitely better than not doing anything at all. Because
exactly.
I used to be like, well, I'm not Mother Teresa, so.
I also can't open my window and care about the person that's standing on the street corner.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And so like that was a main thing for me. And so I think understanding that it's a spectrum and it's just turn the dial a little bit. And it's like, that's great. That's good enough. 100%. Like if everybody did that, golden.
Right.
Who cares?
Right.
Yeah. So Mark is just one of these really great examples of someone who had this unique idea and unique story and came in and said, this is what I'm going to do with my time and my money. I write these books. Here's my pig. And I want it to be bigger than just writing books. I shouldn't have put the word just in front of that. Like writing books is tremendous, especially a kid's book that has done as well as Zen Pig has and has such positive qualities and characteristics to be championing and inviting children to. But on top of that, how could I up the ante, so to speak? Mm-hmm. And you came in and said, what if part of this is tied to making a difference somewhere else in the world? Tell me about water.
Yeah, definitely. Because I think one of the things that we need to do, again, because I was so late to the game, is teach children the joy of giving. Like, like giving isn't, you can look at it certain ways, but really it brings you joy as well. And I think that's not talked about very much because like we want to say, oh, if I get anything from that, I'm selfish or like I didn't do it for the right reason. No, I don't, no, stop. Like it's okay to be joyful that you're helping your fellow human. Like that's okay. That's what we're supposed to do biologically and everything. And so like for Zen Pig specifically, I wanted it to be philanthropic in some way. And I wanted it to be specific because portion of proceeds, great. If that's your thing, do it, whatever. But for a child, that doesn't mean anything. I have trouble breaking that down. And so, like, I think that's just really an important lesson to be like, oh, wow. And they can conceptualize that.
Right. We should do a side note, a Zen Pig goes to Africa.
Let's do it. I'm down.
That would be awesome.
It would be so fun.
That would be great. Are you talking about in real life?
I'm talking like, you and I... What if over maternity, you and I write a book? Like, let's Zen Pig go to Africa.
So I would do it in a heartbeat.
Talk about, like...
I'll do it in a heartbeat.
Assets and the all the things you discover and the world that you see.
Yeah, let's do that. We just birthed something right here, right now.
Oh, my gosh.
You heard it here first,
folks.
That's right.
I can write a kid's book. I don't know if I could write a
kid's book. You absolutely could write a kid's book. I think everybody should write a kid's book. I'm not kidding.
Well, the reality is there is something so tangible about having to break down anything to a four-year-old. Like, if you can figure out how to say it to a four-year-old, you have internalized it deeply into your own being.
I agree.
And that's hard.
It is so hard. It's a distillation process.
Yeah.
You've got these massive concepts, and then you've got to get it sharp.
Yeah. You can't use big words.
You can't do the fluffy nebulous stuff.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so that's just a lot of filler. There's a lot of filler, let's be clear, in literature. There is.
Right.
So yeah. But I think everybody can and should.
Oh, I want to. Let's
do it. Oh, I can't wait.
Everybody that's listening, I know you have a children's book in you. Write it.
Write
seriously.
It.
And here, and you know what? I just want to say this real quick. Sorry. I get lots of emails about like, hey, I have a kids book idea. How do I do it? No, listen, like here's the biggest, hardest part. And this is crazy. And I'm not trying to be crass. You just got to do it. Mm-hmm. You need to find an accountability partner and do it, because we all have bills and like kids and wife, husband, whatever. That can always be pushed out.
Yeah.
But just doing it, like just sitting down and doing it.
So fun.
Sometimes that's with anything creative.
Totally.
It's just like,
just do it.
Just make the time.
Yeah.
Just
make
it
a priority.
Right.
Okay. So where did you first hear of Mocha Club? Why did you walk in our door?
When I was doing Zen Pig and I was like making it and all that, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to find a charity that I can partner with. And I was just telling Steven, the producer, am I saying his name right? Because he has it. He has that really
cool. Steven, the producer.
He's got that cool spelling of Steven with the.
Stefan.
Yeah.
Oh,
exactly.
My goodness.
Exactly.
So without a mic, quick. Steven, this is what happens. You become Stefan.
Yep. We. what was I saying? Sorry.
How you were just about
telling
Mocha Club.
Steven about Mocha Club.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yes. Okay. So anyway, I was emailing all these charities. I didn't care where they were. Let's be clear. Like, I'm in Nashville. I don't care if you're in San Francisco or New York. I really, whatever. Like, you want to get clean water? Good. So anyway, after like talking to like 15 or 20 of them, Mocha Club was the only one that was like, come into our office, see what's up. Yes, we can give you specifics. This is how we do it and everything. Mm. And I can't tell you how many of them told me, well, we can't give you numbers, you know.
Really?
Whatever, yeah. Like, so many of them. And, like, that's fine. Like, I don't know how that business works. I'm not saying that I could, you know, extract some sort of number. But I knew that I couldn't partner with somebody like that because I will inevitably get asked, like, well, how does this work?
Sure.
If the charity can't tell me.
Sure.
And I'm the middleman.
Right.
Then, you know, whatever. But Mocha Club was, like, so fantastic. As you literally said, you can be as involved or not involved as you want to be. And I was like, great.
Hmm.
And let me be clear, I'm not involved with the clean water. I'm not another cook in the kitchen. You guys are the experts, and I love it.
Yeah, it's, again, we've talked about this so much, you and me, Mark, but like, it's just this really beautiful space where we get to all play the part that's ours to play.
Play to your strengths.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm physically not building a well either, nor would I be qualified to know how deep to make it or
totally,
where the right place
and
to
and that's so okay.
Is. Right.
And great. Let's all leverage.
Right. The piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I've loved about being able to work with you, is that you're very excited about the piece you get to play, and you celebrate and champion all the other pieces. And
they're all important.
Fun. Yeah,
they're all so important. Different.
That's good. So, yeah, it is World Water Day on Friday. So I just want to share some specifics on what the water crisis looks like right now. 1 in 9 people lack access to safe water, or 844 million people living without access to safe water. That's from our friends over at water.org. That's a huge number.
That's not okay.
That's not okay.
It's 2019.
Right.
Not okay.
Right. Right.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it's not okay. And this disproportionately affects women and girls who are tasked with finding and gathering this water. So it just takes time away from other things that they could be doing. They could be going to school. They could be taking care of their families. They could be working. But instead, they're trying to look for water. And so that creates a gender imbalance in education around the world, which we're also really passionate about education. So.
Not okay.
Right. Hashtag not okay.
Yeah.
So your part in leveraging Zen Pig to support our water projects is answering a call to saying this is not okay. We want to change this. And we have our friends and partners in Africa who are look at their communities and see that need specifically and are working just as hard to do it. And so we're all kind of leveraging ourselves in our own ways to make a change.
It's so awesome. You guys are doing such a good job, and thank God for you guys. Seriously. Because like, I hear those numbers and I'm like, is this real life? Is that real? Right. Like, what in the world is going on?
Right. But I think the other piece for me is I think the piece of knowing, like, there are multiple ways to attack clean water and the crisis of clean water. And like you just said, there's lots of organizations and they do it all differently. And that's fine. That's how that works. For us, it's been a really beautiful organic dynamic. It's as dynamic to work with an African as it is to work with you. It's this place of saying, how do we each play this role in this piece and leverage what we have and then really lean into one another? Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. you wouldn't be doing all you were doing without Mocha Club, but Mocha Club wouldn't be doing all it's doing without you. And at the same time, that equation remains true on the other side totally. Of the ocean in Africa. Yes. And so for us, it looks like we didn't decide to be in clean water because we wanted to be in clean water. Mm-hmm. We were in clean water because the people that we spend our days with, the leaders and the men and the women that are actively fighting and dreaming and creating in their communities are saying, this is the piece that we mm-hmm. lack, and here's what it looks like, and yeah. here's the best way to do that. And it's yes. it's not always well. It's not always putting in hydraulics and generator and mm-hmm. all the different pieces. Sometimes the solution looks very different to figuring out clean water. But it's unique to the circumstance, and it continues to be a dynamic relationship. Mm. It's different everywhere. Every well we've been a part of, or every water solution we've been a part of, has been so different. Mm. And that's fun, too, to learn about just yes. different people and different reasons why you would do different things. It's fun.
It's amazing. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we share some of those stories? Specifically.
Sure. So the latest couple, we talked about this, that we did in Rwanda that you've helped us with have been, one was working with a group of pygmies. Mm. And what was the most dynamic about that is that pygmies in Rwanda are kind of, they are the ostracized, marginalized group mm-hmm. that kind of are forgotten because mm-hmm. they stand out so distinctly from the rest of the ethnic tribes in Rwanda. And so what was fun about that was just working with this small group of people. And I think the piece that I loved more than anything else was, again, I was never present. There wasn't a white person that was in the space. It was all local Rwandans, but the process of them learning their voice. And so to be a pygmy in a room with other Rwandans where you feel like you are subservient, and it's gracious just for them to have come to your village to begin this process of assessing what does it look like to dream, and what do we need, and what are the solutions that are here in our community, and really relying on them to speak to that was really powerful. So you began to see these men and women really explore their sense of value and dignity and find their voice, which was to me equally as powerful as a clean water solution.
You know? Absolutely. I mean, it's very clear and concrete about clean water, but like, there's a psychology to it as well. I mean, giving people dignity and empowering them is like, what?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
That's something hard to quantify, but it's like so important.
Right. Yeah, it's hard to quantify. So that's what's interesting about it is you can look at numbers and say 90 families or 450 people, and that's really beautiful, and that's something to celebrate. But at the same time, those 450 people have a different perspective of who they are, and they know what it looks like to use their voice and to use their own instinct. The reality was they had access to water. It just wasn't clean. And so now what do you begin to do? And we don't need a well, and we don't need to haul all that crap up here and try to make this well work. When we have access to water, it's just about the right solution and the filter system and all the impact of that. So it was really fun to experience that and just see the intangible parts of the impact of who they've become and their engagement and interaction with other people in Rwanda.
I mean, you really can't overstate that. I mean, when people feel less vulnerable, when they're empowered, when they have that security, there's going to be less violence. There's going to be, I mean, and like all of that stuff echoes generations. It's not just like now I'm not thirsty. No, like this is so massive in terms of long timeline.
Right.
Like that's, come on.
You more than a lot of others would appreciate the value of good, stable, emotional and mental health. And so when a parent has that and can hand it off to their child and a child grows up in a world like that, then what they learn and experience and expect and push for and hope for and fight for, and then the way they raise their children, like you're saying, it's a generational thing. So, and in Rwanda, it's an interesting experience. Rwanda's got so much of its own trauma from the genocide. And one of the studies that's been hyped up and talked about a lot recently in the last several years is the impact of post-traumatic stress on children.
Oh my.
So what's interesting in the mental health world in Rwanda right now is that children who were not alive for the genocide exhibit all these post-traumatic stress symptoms.
Wow.
Because they got them in utero, because their parents were a part of the genocide, right? And so mom has a disposition and is carrying that and in utero passes something to a child. It's super interesting to go, man, how could clean water, could a filter for 90 families combat against more than just water, but also like some of these other pieces of the story, the communal story and the history of Rwanda. It's, it's awesome.
That's amazing. Wow.
So the trickle, like you're saying, the trickle out into how this massively changes culture is really fun.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You guys are rock stars.
Well, so really what we're saying is thank you.
Oh,
among other
you.
Things. Yes. Thank you to the Zen Piggers are
they're the ones
super passionate about not only Zen Pig, but what Zen Pig is doing around the world.
Yeah, seriously. They're the rock stars too. Like,
What is your engagement like with people in the Zen Pig community? Like, do you hear often from people that read your books?
I do. I get lots of emails and Instagrams and things like that. And that just always means the world to me. Yeah. It really does. And, you know, I couldn't do it without them, for sure. I mean, like, you know, like, it's just all them, 100%. And it's just crazy.
What are some of the things they ask you about? Like, are you finding a sense of, I mean, you're 4 years in, 4.5 years in to Zen Pig. Are you kind of discovering your sense of culture in the Zen Pig world?
Definitely. I'm definitely, I would say after about 2 years, the tribe kind of, you know, coagulated. You know? So it's been really cool. And I don't know if people know this or whatever, but I think there's a very acute deficit for our generation. I'm 34, so whatever that is, to have a model for kids, to have positive role models for them in terms of like fictitious characters. Because one thing that kind of bothered me about children's media when I first became a parent was that it was ABCs and 1-2-3s, educational, great. But then there's like this like the superhero stuff, which is fine, but that's entertainment. So like there's like intelligence and then like entertainment.
Fluff.
Yeah, that fluff stuff. And it's like, well, where's emotional intelligence? Where is that? Because that is so important. And we're not teaching kids that. And that's why I was a 25-year-old, like, freaking out. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
like,
whatever.
And so it's like, whoa, like, where's that at? Mm. We need those characters. Mm-hmm. I mean, and not just Zen Pig. Like, if you have a character like that, make it, because it's all hands on deck.
Sure.
Like, we need as many models for kids that are in that same vein. And so, you know, where it used to be, I imagine, in the church, which is great, that's fine. Now our generation, for whatever reason, has kind of had this exodus. Mm-hmm. We still need those values, because that's just a human, that's why I call them evergreen values. They're always going to be true. Gratitude's always going to work.
Sure.
Now, 500 years from now, 1,000 years ago, it works.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need those characters.
Mm. Our children need to know how to express that.
Yes, and identify. Like,
sure.
Oh, that's
awareness.
Anger. Awareness. I mean, like, that's so...
Single-handedly.
Totally. I mean, like, just taking a second, like, I feel angry now.
Mm.
No, it's unbelievable, and I'm not saying this, like, in a judgmental way, because it's me too, how if you just take a moment and say, that's anger, or that's sadness, or... Just name it and sit with it for a second and stop telling these stories and running and gunning and like, this is why I feel this way. That's a story.
Right,
but just saying, oh, that's here to visit me for right now.
Right.
But it's going to go. That's okay.
I think awareness and being able to label it, it gives you so much power and freedom
yes.
in understanding it. And then it becomes a tool that you can navigate. Like, now what am I going to do with my anger? Because I grew up in a world of thinking that there were all these feelings and, you know, draw a big circle around half of them and go, these are all bad feelings.
Yes.
I don't want them.
Preach.
Or I need to have less of them. Mm-hmm. Or the goal in life is to have as few interactions with these feelings and as many interactions with these feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And even culturally, I watch it happen in our media and in our marketing. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's appealing to a sense of, you know, you want this feeling, so come buy this car. But the reality is it's so backward because then it limits the value of anger. Mm-hmm. And to teach a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, like, anger's a beautiful tool. Now, what do you do with it? How do you channel it into something that's positive instead of negative? It's just not, it's not a conversation that I knew how to have as a parent. Yeah. So Zen Pig has taught a lot of people about a lot of things.
Definitely. I had no idea how to do it. And you know, trying to get Zen Pig, you know, to do that is one of my goals, you know.
It's just, love it.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's it's sweet. So fun. So talk to us a little bit about, like, what is Zen Pig? What adventures has he been on? And what adventures do you dream about taking him on besides Africa?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely going to do the Africa thing for sure. So I think Zen Pig, the first Zen Pig book was really just an overarching, like, this is like, these are these values and concepts. And this is the result you're going to get, a much more fulfilled, peaceful life, right? He's explored our interconnectedness with nature and how we're all just kind of this part of this one big living oscillating system, which is really cool. The third book is all about gratitude because that's changed my life for sure. And the fourth one's about love and how it's really everywhere, you know, just if you are perceptive to it, it's I mean, it's so abundant, it's incredible. Thank God. So that's where he's been. Where he's going is in October, this will be the sixth book. He is going to explore the emotions. It's going to be like he's going to show his nephew a bunch of emotions and what to do with them.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. How much fun.
It was so cool. It was so cool.
How do you come up with your ideas?
In a highly caffeinated state.
Two pots in.
You know, I just get in flow and I write it and then it doesn't even seem like I wrote it. It's like, you know, I don't take credit for it. It's just like, like you were saying, channeling is just like, okay, that's out there. Anyway, I really do feel like, not to go back to the straw, but like a straw. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
it's bubbling up.
Yeah. It just comes through the straw and okay, great. That's out there.
So does the experiences or the conversations that you have with Noble throughout a day like spark something or spur something on?
Sometimes it does. And I reference Zen Pig a lot in terms of what Zen Pig has done. And I don't know. I put this in the blog one day, but like he's busted me before because like I made in one of the things it talks about. Zen Pig says forgive yourself fast, and I dropped something, and he could tell I was agitated, and he was like, "Well, don't forget what Zen Pig says. Forgive yourself fast." And I was like, "Dude, don't tell me what Zen Pig."
Right.
But you're right.
It's working.
It's working.
And pigs having an impact. That's really cool.
And I write these books for myself as much as for
sure.
Kids.
Like, absolutely.
I need reminders all the time. All the time. So.
But awesome. I also think that there's something really powerful for our children in seeing us fail, in seeing us struggle. Because otherwise, like I just remember as a child thinking, when I grow up, it will all make sense. Mm. It'll just be this pathway forward because I will have done all the struggle of growing. Right?
Yeah.
And so it's like, man, the times that I have to turn to my son and say, I really messed that one up. I took what I was angry at and I took it out onto you, or I shamed you because mommy's tired. How do I help you learn that I'm still navigating this too? And there's been a lot of freedom for me in being able to answer a question with like, I don't know.
Totally. You know? Totally. I think that's great. I think that setting that expectation early is incredible. And then I was telling Stephen this as well.
Stefan, our producer.
I think the age of archetypes is over. Like, I'm really hoping so, right? Mm-hmm. Meaning, like, I don't want Noble to see me as, like, this perfect, flawless guy. Mm-hmm. Got all my stuff together. Guess what? Don't. Mm-hmm. And I don't want the public to see me as Zen Pig author as, like, you know, like,
he
I would...
must exhibit all of these.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I was telling him, like, I'm not Fred Rogers. I'm not Barney. Like, I'm not that guy. I'm not. And, like, the amount of pressure, like, somebody, like, one of my heroes, Tony Robbins... I don't want that pressure. Like the amount of expectation that guy has to not slip up would be crushing to me. And so I think just setting that expectation for your children and for the public, being transparent about everything, hey, in pure consciousness, this is what life looks like, but you don't get to stay in that state all the time.
Right.
You're in and out.
I think for me, I just needed, because I grew up similarly to you, Emily, where it was just like, these are bad emotions. These are good. My mom is feeling angry. It's like this response. And in turn, this is my feeling about it. It was just bad versus good in emotions. And I think what I needed the whole time was just permission.
Yes.
I just needed permission to like let it be felt and let it be out there and let it be honest. And so I feel like Zen Pig for Kids is a beautiful way to just, it's like a book of permission. Like,
oh, that's sweet.
It's okay.
That's a great way to put it. I love that. Thank you for that. That's, you've gifted me with that. Like, seriously, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do need to be, we need to have permission to be human. Mm-hmm. And we just, because we are, we're not going to escape that fact. We're human.
Right, right.
And so, and that includes the entire gamut of human experience and emotions and.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Teaching a child to hold that and to not fight it. And yeah.
Definitely.
It's a beautiful thing. Mm.
Definitely.
Man, this has been a good conversation.
Yes. It's already over? So God, glad. Whatever. They're kicking me off the mic because it sounded like a hippie. I know that's what's going on.
No.
Oh, well, yeah, folks, remember, it is World Water Day on Friday. So if you're looking for a way to participate and you're listening, I think buying Zen Pig would be a great way to support it.
It's a win-win.
ZenPigBook.com.
ZenPigBook.com. Mm-hmm. Great.
And you can get it on Amazon.
You can get it on Amazon.
I do want to recommend that you don't buy it on Amazon. And that's not because of like proceeds to me. It's because I put treats in packages a lot. I actually touch those Zen Pigs and like put stuff in packages. I sneak it in sometimes. Amazon, I don't touch them. I don't see the books. It's nothing to do with me. So that's like pro tip.
Added bonus.
Yes.
Value add if you order from the website.
Yeah. Yes, totally.
There you go.
Okay, great. And where can people learn more about you besides the website? You said you're on socials, Instagram.
Yeah, so follow Zen Pig on Instagram at Zen Pig Book. That's that one.
Okay, great.
But if you're into like not child content, it's Mark of the Cosmos. And so I do try to like...
Mark of the cosmos or at the cosmos?
Of
the cosmos.
Okay. Part of this big, beautiful universe.
Yes.
He's a hippie. Get him off the mic.
I grew up in Boulder. I mean,
oh,
this
gosh.
Is like, thing. Oh, no, Jesus.
Okay, I'm fine.
You're feeling good.
I'm so conservative. Whoa.
Oh, my goodness. All right, Mark. Thank you so much for being
thank
here.
Thank you guys so much. Fun. Love the work
Please
you guys
come
do.
Back.
Of course. Gladly.
Whew. All right, friends, didn't you enjoy that conversation with Mark? He just has the best energy. I hope you guys are feeling ready for your day now that you've listened in. Again, if you want to purchase Zen Pig or learn more about his children's books, please visit zenpigbook.com. And as always, follow Mocha Club on social medias at Mocha Club and at African Leadership. We are both on Instagram and Facebook. Just would love to keep connected with y'all and want you guys to know when we have future conversations. So that's the best way to keep up with that. And as always, another quick request, if you wouldn't mind just hopping over to Apple iTunes and leaving a rating and review. Those are super impactful for getting this podcast to more listeners. And we just want to make sure we're able to keep having really important conversations that are valuable to y'all. So if you wouldn't mind going over there and doing that, that would be awesome. You guys rock. We'll see you next week.